Welcome back, Power Hour Nation. I'm your guest host from Canada, George Freund. Joining us in this hour is John Bentley, author of The Royal Secret. It's just by some twist of fate or chance, our paths intersected, and we hit it off, and he was kind enough to send me a copy of the book. I'm very, very interested in the Tudor era, Elizabeth I, Francis Bacon. I'm a little bit aware of the Shakespearean codes and found it fascinating because codes win wars. You know nothing about history or a period of, you know, I used to go out with a girl who was in the Navy, and she says, you know, you're a nice guy, but you don't know crap. And so she gave me this book, The Bodyguard of Lies, and I learned about, you know, the intelligence agencies, how the secrets work, and what really won World War II was breaking the German codes and having understanding of that. And once you elevate yourself to that level, it's a whole new world. And part of it is, all through history, this has been going on, and they don't really teach us too much in school, just not even the icing for the cake, and hardly not the cake. And when you start looking at that era and the fact that a man who was pretty much illiterate and could hardly sign his own name is credited with some of the greatest artistic works in the world, seems to be an oxymoron. And we just can't break out of the paradigm. It controls us. It manipulates us. When you start looking into the fact that the real author of the Shakespearean works is Sir Francis Bacon, and the fact that, you know, he was a genius. He was the, you know, first son of Elizabeth I, and or surviving one, and an amazing, talented, decent man. I think he probably would have been a good king, from what I understand of the history of it, that he wouldn't have been the despotic maniac that you generally find in monarchies. He would have tried to make a system maybe akin to his new Atlantis. Welcome aboard, John, and tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got into the Shakespearean era.
Yeah, thanks a lot for the opportunity, George. I'm pleased to be online with you. The book at the moment is really quite topical, and I guess to start off in telling you how I got there, basically I'd been in business most of my life. I've traveled the world. I lived in about 7 countries. I was a 10-pound immigrant, assisted passage to Australia when I was 18, cutting sugar cane and things like that. And I got lucky, made a fortune, retired when I was 30, studied various things that I'd never been taught at school, metaphysics, and read a lot about philosophies and so on. And so by then I needed to come back into business again, got into media, got into movies, started a big-sized business in the States. And in fact, I actually created the first business to put internet onto television, which had never been done before. And I didn't have any competition when I started out, but it was a little bit early. And I had to sell out to Oracle, big corporation, because they had the money to take it on. I didn't make any money out of it, but it took 5 years of my life. But I did it as a social media intent, really, hoping really to start electronic voting and so on. But never mind. I had to start a game, which I did. I sailed around the world for 3 or 4 years, came up with another idea or two, made some money, and retired to Portugal in the Algarve in the sun. And I thought I better do something there as well. And the idea of a book came to me after reading the story of a life called Francis Bacon from the Tudor period in England. And he was a genius who spent his life trying to discover life's truth. So I thought, well, I'll have a shot at that as well. So basically, the book I created was one called The Royal Secret, for various reasons for that, because it has several meanings. But I started it off by saying it's not what we know, but what we don't know that separates the majority of us from those few who do. Not just lack of access to knowledge but by which we might succeed, but also the misdeeds and malefactions by which others prosper at our expense. I wrote these words 5 years before COVID-19, but today they have an even greater meaning, because strangely enough, in a very odd mixture, COVID and Shakespeare come together in my book, and of course, as you know, it's very topical today. So the way people tend to see life is they've got short periods of their lives and close passes, not realizing that history is an endless sequence of events occurring and reoccurring, and they're all interconnected. And time and again, history repeats itself, and of course, mankind rarely learns from it. As an example of time, I'm now 80. My grandfather was born in 1836, while Wellington defeated Napoleon was still alive and well. So that's nearly 200 years between my grandfather and me. That's 10 times before Christ was born. So really, time is a very short period. And Homo sapiens, intelligent man, has only been around 2,000 or 3,000 years. So coming back to Bacon and the Freemasons, which he was very much involved in, just about every civilization has tried to rule the world in some way or another. It doesn't matter who it is, Alexander the Great, Genghis Khan, Caesar, you name it, and in fact now the United States, followed by basically England started it, and then the United States. And the United States have inscribed in their seal, the great seal of the United States, Novus Ordo Seclorum, or New Order of the Ages. So my story really is about Bacon as a Freemason and his role as Shakespeare. And so because it's a somewhat boring subject for some people, except for academics, I wanted to put a little bit of fiction in there and make it more interesting for the average reader. So although the story of Bacon is factual in every way, and I did a huge amount of research on it, I brought in a figure called Mrs. G, who is a fictional character. She's an American woman, about 60. Her father, husband dies of, and she's not quite sure how. It's a mystery to her. And off she goes to try and find out how. And in her search for truth, really, for her Holy Grail, she stumbles across the life of Bacon. She goes from Washington and to London and to Paris and to the south of France, and she follows the trail through the Knights Templar in Carcassonne and back, and ends up in Transylvania, believe it or not, which is still exists. It's a small part of Hungary right now. So my book is based on Bacon, and Mrs. G basically tells his story and her own in the book, which I think just makes it a bit more acceptable and interesting to. So it's written as a novel, really, rather than as a factual book. I did study history at college. It was I got a first in that, but I haven't had much time to write since, unfortunately. but this has been a dream of mine, and I'm very happy with my book. I've had a lot of comment on it from people, and I'm hoping to obviously get more now that, unfortunately, COVID is with us. But I think there are various questions that COVID arises. You know, do we live with death? As we do we accept it as part of our life or not? And this is a question that I cover in my book. Bacon was the son of Queen Elizabeth I, and so he should have been the king, except that she considered that he was a bastard child. And he had a love-hate relationship with her. She was a strong and willful woman who cut off heads of those opposed her and lined the streets with them. Despite numerous affairs, she called herself the Virgin Queen. She had a second son, whom she adored, but later she chopped his head off as well. So Francis, a little bit scared of her. He wasn't a soldier, his younger brother was, but a scholar, interested in philosophy and the arts and writing. The Queen had put him out for adoption when he was young. He didn't find out who his mother was until he was 16, when she promptly banished him to France, and he had an affair with a young 24-year-old Queen of Navarre for a year, who jilted him. She was called Margaret, a real beauty. And he returned to England at 20, a little bit sorry for himself, and made it up with his mother, who gave him a good home, so long as he promised never to claim the throne on pain of death. So he started to write with a bunch of pals from his university at Cambridge, where he'd gone when he was 12 years old. A pretty bright guy. He called his pals his good pens, and they all wrote plays and essays and political pamphlets under hundreds of assumed names and icons, because they often criticized the monarchy and the queen and poked fun at it, and so they didn't want to be caught, especially their head chopped off. So the first of the Shakespeare plays were written under the icon of the Spear of Knowledge, held by the goddess of knowledge, Pallas Athene. A Comedy of Errors was the first play, and Francis studied at the same time to become a lawyer, and the Comedy of Error he put on to please his young lawyer friends, and also to please his mum, the Queen, who had no idea that he was writing romantic poems about girlfriends or angry ones about her, for that matter. But she did like the Comedy of Errors. After that, she told him to stop and become a lawyer, and that's what she thought he was doing for most of his life. So you can see he was a bit of a controversial character. Francis, a man who should be king, was also the real Shakespeare. Many people challenge that nowadays, academics and historians, but, you know, there is no record of Shakespeare. In fact, his name was Shakespeare or Shakespeare. Nobody quite knows the name. He signed his name in several different ways. And apart from being able to sign his name, there's no record that he ever could read or write. He left no books. He had no friends who left any letters from him. So it's a myth, really. And although various people are mooted as a possible Shakespeare, for me, Bacon is the one. He's the guy. I don't have any doubt about it, and I try to make that very clear in my book. But one of the reasons I do is, as an American woman, about 100 years ago now, a woman called Elizabeth Gallup, she was a cryptographer, the top woman in the World War I for the American government, and she was just brilliant at deciphering code, and as a hobby, she read Shakespeare, and she saw that inside the plays, there were codes, which, in fact, told the story of Bacon's secret life. This woman's name was Elizabeth Gallup, and she spent 20 years of her life unraveling these coded secrets of Bacon's life as Shakespeare. Lots of people since have tried to disparage her, but of course they're people who don't understand codes, so they do so out of ignorance. So I took her name, Mrs. Gallup, for my heroine of my book, Mrs. G. She's a fictional 60-year-old woman from Boston, and the tale of Bacon's life is told through her eyes in The Royal Secret. She needs to seek the truth of her own life after her husband's mysterious death, and in doing so, she comes across Bacon's past and his life and the dangers that overtook him for his honesty. And together, the stories run parallel in a race against time, both in search of their own holy grails, or philosopher's stones, if you like. So how does my story relate to COVID? Well, it's because Mrs. G's husband, Abe, is a brilliant bioengineer. He's created a vaccine for a virus which can kill or save the population of the world. And those in a powerful and elitist secret order in Washington want to get their hands on it. Well, I wrote this book in 2015, so this is 5 years ago now, so this story is sort of possibly coming true. There are people who want to establish a new world order under a one world government. Now, this new world order idea has been going on for a very long time, and there's no doubt in my mind that there is a powerful group of people in the world who still want to make it happen. Not necessarily for bad reasons, but because they think that the only way to save the world is by having a one world government. And how to do it, of course, is problematical. Quite a lot of people have tried it before, Napoleon and Hitler, Caesar, and quite a lot of them, and hasn't been too good for the world, or for them. One of the best-known Shakespearean quotes is, We are such stuff as dreams are made of. And there's no truer saying. Life in reality is how we see and experience it. But to each of us, it's different. And so ultimately, it is an illusion of what we see as reality, and what lays underneath, which we are fed by news and government, and what we have learned as fact at school, but often it is not correct. So history is told by many people who were not there. It has many varying voices for those in the past and many versions of their lives. I'm sure I will have a version. Even now, at my age, I look back, I could tell you six different stories of my life, as you probably could to me. Our future, too, is unknown. We can only guess what lays in store in a natural universe, and it's much bigger than us all. And all life since the beginning of time is interconnected. And in my book, there's one theme that starts a few thousand years ago with Homo sapiens and runs from the Egyptians to Christ to Mary Magdalene, and it's known as the Rose Line. It runs to the days of King Arthur and to the Tudors and to today. And Mrs. G, in my book, sets out to find all about it. So it involves those in power. And it was Bacon who very famously said, his most famous words, in fact, knowledge is power. And it's by knowledge that the powerful rule the rest of us. Since the beginning of time, those in power have tried to rule the world. There's no getting away from it. For a while, it was the British. And now, the Americans are behind the scenes at the top. Behind them all is the same group of people with the same idea of one world government. Now, that may seem a little bit striking to some, and lots of people who think that I'm a little bit crazy when I talk about it, but it is vital to know how they want to do it. These people are idealists in their own mind, doing what they think is best for the rest of us, but they don't ask us. With social media, people can ask, but they get fed with false news. Who is doing what is what really worries people. Is COVID curable? Where did it come from? Was it man-made on purpose to make people fearful and obey without question? Isn't it strange how it's forced us to use digital currency and not cash? Is this just a coincidence? More and more we're obliged to give information about ourselves. The data banks are full up about our every movement, where we go. Now we're talking about 5G, which will identify every second of who we talk to, where we are at any moment, and so on. This is all really a coincidence, is it, or is it a plot to control us all from some central body or another? That is the question. Bacon was an idealist, and as far as I go, as far as I can see, he was a pretty honest one. He was a founder of America in a way. He founded Virginia and Carolina, and he wanted the people of America to have freedom in his idea of a new world order, without a king or a dictator or a pope. But he wanted a meritocracy, a land ruled by the smartest people who had the knowledge. But who were these people? They were Freemasons, whose background descended from the Knights Templar of old, and before them the Rose bloodline of Mary Magdalene and Solomon and the Egyptians. The Catholic Church didn't like them because they cut across them, so they branded them as devil worshippers and sodomites. Well, Bacon was a Freemason. He revived it from the past, from the Knights Templar, basically, as a non-religious, secular order of men, a fraternity, really. And he wrote a book called The New Atlantis, and that was taken by the Founding Fathers as a template for America and its constitution and its own new world order. Out of 56 of the American Founding Fathers, 50 of them were Freemasons. So, in a way, Freemasonry has been at the heart of America from the very beginning. Those of you, possibly some of you, not all of you, but a very popular author, Dan Brown, who wrote the Da Vinci Code, people know from his book that Washington was built as the New Jerusalem. And in its midst is a great Masonic temple built on the lines of ancient geometry, just as Solomon's temple was 2,000 more years ago. Now, you may think that's just makeup, but it's not. It's true. That's absolutely is the way that Washington was laid out. Why? Because the Freemasons knew that nothing really changes, in a way. The themes are always the same. New people come, new wars, new nations, but the main themes, they're always the same. The survival of mankind as a species. Is there a God who really controls the world? They knew, the Freemasons, the ancient mysteries of the Egyptians, often from the use of mind-altering drugs, that we live in an illusory world. Now, Bacon's new world and his Freemasons and founding a new world order were very successful in offering a vast and new wonderful land of America for the overcrowded populations of Europe and Africa for the next 400 years. But now, America is full, and so is Europe and Africa, and the whole world is full, full of people, and the whole while we have robots taking over their jobs. So this, we're reaching a sort of crunch time, in my view, one that we all have to think very seriously about, and we have to really know who is going to rule us during this time. Right now, I don't think it's the Trumps or the Obamas or the 29 presidents of Europe, but it's those behind the scenes, the ones with the power and the money and the knowledge from the past. But can they be trusted? That's the problem.
Now, okay, we're going to be coming up to a break now, John, so we'll carry on on the other side, and we get our commercials in there. This is a very, very interesting story, and I hope you'll all stay tuned. John Bentley, The Royal Secret, exposed here on Power Hour Nation. We'll see you on the other side of the break.
As you all know, everything begins with an idea. Ideas have helped shape the very world we live in. ThePowerMall.com began as an idea, allowing entrepreneurs and small business owners like yourself the opportunity to not only survive, but thrive in an era where corporations dominate. ThePowerMall.com is a small family-owned business who has partnered with companies you've come to rely on and trust over the years, like Strauss Heart Drops, North American Urban Spice, Miracle 2 Soaps, Vitamir, Numana Food Storage, to name just a few. Fight back against large corporations when you buy from thepowermall.com. Need to speak to a real person? Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
Break the bond of Big Pharma. Hi, it's Joyce Riley with the Power Hour to tell you about the powerful benefits of Strauss Heart Drops. Many people today are locked into the routine of taking multiple prescription drugs. Strauss Herb Company believes that everything the body needs is provided by nature. Strauss Heart Drops may clear congested arteries, restore damaged muscle, maintain healthy cholesterol levels, and flush toxins and metals from the body. They may even be helpful in treating varicose veins. And unlike prescription drugs that are packed with chemicals, Strauss Heart Drops are 100% natural and harness the healing power of herbs like garlic, cayenne, white willow bark, and mistletoe. For the full line of Strauss products, I urge you to call the Power Hour at 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or visit thepowermall.com. And remember, beware of knockoffs. Get the original. Get Strauss Heart Drops.
You know what my mission was when I started this, when I was so excited? I still am excited after 21 years. I said anybody who's got mouth must use Vitamir toothpaste and mouthwash if they want to stay healthy. I'm going to make sure that it is available to anywhere I can put the product.
You got a lot of zinc in these products.
Zinc inhibits plaque growth. Zinc is also known to have an antibacterial properties. Also, zinc works to eliminate bad breath by destroying volatile sulfur compounds. Such an incredible product. And
wow.
I'm so proud to say my wife did that and saved my life, saved my mouth. And she is the mother of all the people who are using a Vitamer toothpaste and mouthwash in the world.
Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Buy from the good guys at theparamall.com. That's theparamall.com.
If you eat New Manna food on a semi-regular basis, you're probably getting better quality food and healthier for your body than you're eating now.
Your products are GMO-free. There's no added MSG and no chemical preservatives or high fructose corn syrup. And you also have gluten-free products as well.
We have a great variety of very high-quality products.
Call 1-877-817-9829 right now and buy from the good guys at theparamall.com. That's theparamall.com.
We've all heard about antibiotics, but what about probiotics? Antibiotic means against life. Probiotic means pro-life. Antibiotics kill bacteria that are infectious and harmful to the body. They also kill the good bacteria, though, that are necessary for good health. Probiotics from Living Streams replaces the healthy balance of friendly bacteria and normalizes the digestive tract. Gastritis, ulcers, diarrheal disease is just a few of the problems people develop when the intestinal flora is out of balance. Living Streams probiotics create the healthy balance needed for good digestion, suppresses growth of pathogenic bacteria, and actually increases resistance to infection. Call the Power Hour, 877-817-9829. Order your Living Stream probiotics today. They're available in 2, 4, and 8-ounce bottles, and Living Streams probiotics comes with a money-back guarantee. Get your body back in balance with Living Streams probiotics today. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Living Streams Probiotics. Everyone should be pro-life.
Welcome back, Power Hour Nation. We're back with John Bentley, author of The Royal Secret. And it is the secrets that rule the world and the people who have possession of them. Knowledge is the power, and that's why, you know, we've always been of that pursuit here at Power Hour, is we try to give you that knowledge so that you can have the power, and that's why the show has that power in the name. So it is the only way, really. If you understand anything about media, how it works, why it works, and why they work so hard to buy it all, control it all, is to manage and control the human herd, us. And the only resistance is those few little pieces that are left that can challenge the orthodoxies, rock the boat, and lead us, we the people, to where the power lies so that we may have possession of it and not these psychopathic elites. And you know, we left off a little bit talking about the church and the Nicene Creed and the Mary Magdalene story and how that has evolved from time immemorial to be a power focus in human history. Can you carry on from where you left off, John?
Sure, George, thanks. And we were just really taking up from you there. I mean, how do powerful people make other people obey them, basically? Usually by getting to work for them in some way or another, by making them rely on them in some form. But worse, of course, is making them scared. And in the old days, perhaps they brought in an army and scared the shit out of people. But nowadays, they can spread all sorts of false rumors on the fake news, on the media, which is the internet and Twitter and so many means to get to people and put distrust in the minds of people, make them fearful of war, fear of the future, fear of getting work enough to live. Right now in the world, it looks as if this is happening, and COVID, of course, is the thing is scaring people the most. So, you know, people are not easily persuaded not to be selfish. That's the problem. So to try and bring about a new one world order, people really need to be selfless. And that is the problem these people have. If it was possible to bring everybody together harmoniously and in cohesion, and happily, then of course they wouldn't have a task. But unfortunately, people hold on to what they've got, what they fought for, quite rightly, and the world is divided this way. So how do you pull the world together into one to suit the new world order global idea? Basically, by fear. That's the problem. So one way of going about this, of course, is to not just using fear, but to actually arrange the population in a way that that you want it, to stop more children being born than people who die, or to perhaps reduce the population by disposing of the old and the ill and the poor by medical means, or perhaps by disease, like COVID, for instance. Those who believe this see it in the best interest of the world for its future, but you and I do not. Average person wants to live and enjoy their life. You have nations, the United States and China, see things as a battle. They need to win for their own survival. And these are dangerous people out there. They're the ones who are in power. The Bacon's world 500 years ago didn't have the same problem, because obviously the population was a great deal less, resources were a great deal more, and we had this huge new world of America, this wonderful land of resource and water and vegetation, and giving hope for European overflow. And the end of the control of dictators over them, of kings and monarchies who enslaved them. So these people understood freedom of the world, as Americans do now. You know, looking at American history, it's one of a great land of freedom. But now, as I said earlier, we're getting to a crunch point. You know, overpopulated world and resources are reducing, and automation is taking over. So in my book, The Royal Secret, just getting back to what I'm saying in there, Mrs. G, my heroine, is suspicious of the evil use of her husband's virus discovery and his vaccine. And she stumbled on his knowledge by chance when her husband died. And she wondered whether he was on the good side or the bad side. She needed to know, and she needed to know why he died. Was he murdered, and who by, and why? And that's why she sets off on this trail across the world to discover, and comes across Bacon in her search. And their lives run parallel. Chapter from chapter to chapter on book, it changes. The modern day, and then back to the Tudor days. And she goes to Washington, and as I said before, London and Paris, and across France. And she's dogged throughout by this strange priest who befriends her in her fear of evil. He's a good-looking guy, and he appears from nowhere, and she puts her trust in him. And why she does it, she has teenage grandchildren of her husband. They're not hers, but they're in her charge, waiting for her to come home while time runs out on her, as we find out in the book, as it does her hero Francis Bacon too. Their quests are the same, a search for truth and what may be beyond. Do we die for good, or do we die and live another life in another world? She likes to find that out, as Bacon did too. So throughout The Royal Secret is the real story of Bacon's extraordinary life as the real Shakespeare, as revealed by the decipherings of Elizabeth Gallup that I mentioned earlier. His love-hate relationship with his mother, the winds of the gold but terrifying Queen of England, his rejection by his first lover, the Queen of France, and later by other women, so that he turns his love to men. How he struggles with his emotions, and how his battle with his powerful enemies, the new homosexual King James among them, is to end. In turn, Mrs. G is faced with her own death, but can she survive it? Well, that's what my book will tell. Thomas Jefferson said of Bacon, he was one of the most three intelligent guys in the world. Others believe he was a reborn Christ, and the world secretly leaves that question open too. Was he a good man, or was he not? Was he the world's greatest genius? Was he born again? Such were his powers of the occult. Is this just scary talk or not, what we can believe? Well, there are comparisons. At the same time as Bacon was born, there was a black plague in London, and there were quite a few more plague scares in London during Bacon's lifetime. In fact, the word plague is mentioned 119 times in the Shakespeare plays. There were similarities to today. Public meetings were banned. The theatres were closed. People were expected to stay at home or in isolation if they were suspected of having it. And those who did have it had their doors nailed up on them from the outside to keep them in. There were about 200,000 people in London in the 1603 plague, and about 5,000 died, or 5% of the population. A bit more, 2.5% of the population. But then there, of course, was no medication and no hospitals. And in the words of Shakespeare, a plague of sighing and relief. But in Macbeth, he said, "Alas, poor country, almost afraid to show itself, it cannot be called our mother, but our grave, where nothing, but who knows nothing, is once seen to smile." So, but he knew it would come to an end, and he wrote, "Physic himself must fade." So, we think everything is different, but a lot of the past is repeated, and the plague, saw itself out, and let's hope COVID does as well. So, are these New World advocates of today any different to the past, with their knowledge and how they want to rule us? Do they represent democracy under false pretenses? Are their motives sincere or selfish? There was a Victorian Prime Minister, Disraeli, in England, a very famous one, who said, "A great part of Europe, to say nothing of other countries, is covered with a network of secret societies. The world is governed by very different people from what is imagined by those not behind the scenes." Well, this could have easily fitted once the bill for many thousands of Freemason lodges in every country in the world. I'm not saying that they were those secret societies, but it's an example of how they could have been. And the Freemasons, no doubt, the senior people at the top, believe that their knowledge comes from the ancient Egyptian Hermetic philosopher Hela priests, and the Gnostics, and the Kabbalists, and the Elohim, and the Rosicrucians, who were forerunners to the Freemasons. But of course today, with the internet and the speed of information, you don't need these cells planted about. Action can be taken by any small, powerful group, which by use of clever propaganda or fake news can create panic and revolution within days or even hours. So, COVID is a means which could covertly control the world by its power to kill or save, given a vaccine, or to instill fear to force the world into economic breakdown, which it seems to be doing at the moment in so many countries, so to subjugate its inhabitants into patience under one single new world order, as AIDS virus could have done as well in my book. So if COVID is a man-made virus made purposely to have no natural antibodies, then it is a plot of terrifying proportions, as life and death will be in the hands of the very few people who brought it into existence and who control it. It's only antidote, if one exists, that is. If it is a plot, then we have to look at who it came from it. Those who want to protect their heritage and wealth and patronage from coming revolution and world chaos from overpopulation, which they envisage in the near future, in the struggle for resources. These people have access to knowledge and power, as did those before them. But those many before them, Napoleon, Hitler, even Caesar himself, they also can be destroyed from without or within. So people must not be afraid. You know, they had to gird their loins and come together to make sure that they're not being exploited. you know, all life is a battle for survival. The Knights Templar and their leader were finally destroyed by the French Catholics and the Pope, and were reborn again as Rosicrucians and Freemasons, and then the Founding Fathers. Can we have a peaceful one world government without coercion? Well, we saw experiments in Russia under communism and under Hitler with fascism, and they didn't work, did they? And now we have in Europe, with the European Union, a failure to agree on an economic policy or many other things, which is a shame in a way, but this is just human nature. It's not surprising to see America under Trump retracting from world affairs in a way. And it's a real paradox of the New World Order from time immemorial. You know, Plato envisaged a utopian world for his Atlantis to live in a protected and sheltered life. But trying to bring the whole extended world of mixed cultures and races under one umbrella, wow, now, that's a real tall order. There are those who still, in the name of Freemasonry, seek power for reasons that are inherently selfish, even if it is in the name of good. And they meet secretly, you know, not so secretly often, in all-male groups, such as the Bohemian Grove in California, every year to share their ambitions to power. And in turn, they use power to seduce those who the public worship, the celebrities of the day, with their swimming pools and big houses, who are easily turned into supporting fake left-wing causes in their search for publicity. Hollywood itself is built on a dualism of good and evil. Hollywood Babylon, if that, you remember that book. Oh, who knows the answer to the world's problems? Nobody can play God. My guess is that nature is always a provider of the answers, since a far greater force than mankind which seeks to conquer it. It'll only be when man learns to live with nature and accept its part in its greater force of birth and rebirth as it is, then will acceptance of the spiritual world we live in, as the ancients knew about before us, can mankind find its own peace. You know, science is not an absolute thing. Much of what we think we know as fact is an illusion. One that if we open our eyes to nature once again, free from the restrictions of scientists and politicians, we may better realize for the sake of humanity, as our forebears may better have done, and I think they did. You know, who are the sane and the insane of today? It's a good question. Who can truly answer that question, which is at the heart of the revolution of the young of today? Are their rulers mad? Is COVID a real or false threat? A new psychological warfare to induce a world of confusion and madness, and so to try to justify straitjackets to control us all. There was a wonderful English scientist called Francis Crick who discovered DNA, probably the greatest single scientific discovery of all time. He admitted that his realization came to him while he was using a psychosomatic drug which opened the recesses of his mind that he'd never realized were there. A fact that is little known and deliberately suppressed by those who are easily scared of the wonders of life. And I think very much the fact that Crick believed that we only use 3% of our overall intelligence in life, and that a huge amount was still to be accessed and would make us understand our place in the world. Now, Bacon, a.k.a. Shakespeare, was undoubtedly the world's greatest philosopher because he took all the old philosophies and wrote them into easily understood plays for the public to understand. And so if you don't bother to study the philosophers, just read Shakespeare. He combines in his works the entire knowledge of the past and has become the most widely read single writer of all time on a global scale. We need a better understanding of Bacon's genius and his good intent as a true Freemason, a true one, I say, and his quest for a happy and informed new world order of a meritocratic democracy would bring as near as we can get to a utopian world without the need for coercion. both the world at large and those false Freemason heirs who've lost the real plot need take note of this. Those people who would abuse the New World Order and abuse the good meaning and good intent of Bacon. It's a world of harmony we need to seek now, not one of compulsion. If only enough people can listen and act accordingly. And just to end my talk with you, lastly perhaps, the real problem the world faces today is the media, in which everyone feels informed sufficiently to have a view, and so no one leader can emerge and offer everyone satisfaction. It was less of a problem in the past when everyday survival and death were inevitably accepted. But today in Western world, it is only perhaps the imminence of death by COVID which can bring people to realize the need for some law and order and cohesion and harmony if they to survive. That's the paradox that we face. A philosopher that I take a lot of note of, Karl Popper, said a very famous quote, that too much tolerance in society leads to the disappearance of tolerance. And it is a balance the world very much needs to strike right now. Was Bacon an evil genius or a great prophet? I know what I think. Did he die to live again? Well, Mr. G found that out, and it's in the royal secret.
Well, the beauty of Mrs. G is she had to make a decision, a life decision, and I think she made the right one. And, you know, we'll all have to face that decision at some time. When, you know, do you take what's offered by evil, or do you just play the sonnet out the way it has been written in the past? And, you know, that makes her quite the heroine. And basically, you know, all of life is a code. Our DNA is a code. And our gene sequences and such is just at levels that, you know, limit our abilities, because most people can't comprehend anything very, very complex. And Popper's paradox of tolerance is, you know, we're so tolerant that we'll put you to death for our tolerance if you disagree with us. And we see this unfolding before our eyes, that you know, someone has a different opinion or an ideology on something, and pretty much everything we're told or caused to believe is just one interpretation of a lie or another. So there's really not a whole lot to get, you know, so bothered about that we get prone to violence. Is, you know, is basically what we fight about is our just different ideologies of what is right and wrong, and we're probably all wrong on some points of it at some level anyway. So it's far better to just use sane and logical reason to work on these things and figure it out, as opposed to the name calling and abuse and such like that. It's just so demeaning. That would be not necessarily a new world order, but a better world order where we just don't condescend to putting people down and violating their opinions with violence or coarse words. You know, whatever, it's like Plato's first law. What is, it will be. There's nothing we can do to change it. We may disagree about what is, but sooner or later it's going to pan out. And the biggest, you know, Canadian scholar I try to espouse all the time is Marshall McLuhan. And, you know, he wrote the books on knowledge, communication, writing, the Global Village. And he understood it all very, very well. And, you know, some of his great sayings are, we live invested in an electric information environment that is quite as imperceptible to us as water is to a fish. He also said World War III is a guerrilla information war with no division between military and civilian participation. Welcome to the battle, my friends, because we're in the thick of it. And then one in his private letters to a cleric in Montreal, he asked, is Satan the prince of the air waves? And I would answer a resounding yes, because he seems to be pulling our strings to our detriment. And the only way to win, I always used to say when I did radio in Toronto, was to change the channel, because I was at that channel and it sounded good. And now you can change the channel to Power Hour and have another point of view that isn't controlled by six big corporate monolithic groups. So we're going to be getting close to the end of our hour, and we want to thank John for taking the time to come and embellish us with some good history and some good pronostication, because he is just right on the money about what the New World Order is, what the disease is, and how it's going to be used to damage, affect us, control us. And, you know, his book is available on Amazon for sure. And it is well worth getting and helping support this great author, because I think we're truly blessed with it and his thoughts and reasoning abilities. It's just good fortune to make his acquaintance and share it with the rest of you. And, John, you know, for that, we'll let you close up, because we probably only have about a minute or two left, on your hopes and desires and how we get out of the trap.
Thanks, George, for your kind words. I was going to open this, and I think Orson Welles did the same thing at one point and got in a lot of trouble. I was going to open up and say, this is a radio broadcast. You are now under the control of a one world government, the New World Order. You will do as you are told. But I thought perhaps I might be a little bit out of order to say that. But of course, one of these days, you never know. That might happen.
It might happen. So keep listening to Power Hour Nation, and we'll put that off as long as possible. Thank you, John. Thank you, Power Hour. Thank you, audience. Until the next time, I'm George Freund from Canada, exposing the royal secret. Bye-bye.
We've all heard about antibiotics, but what about probiotics? Antibiotic means against life. Probiotic means pro-life. Antibiotics kill bacteria that are infectious and harmful to the body. They also kill the good bacteria, though, that are necessary for good health. Probiotics from Living Streams replaces the healthy balance of friendly bacteria and normalizes the digestive tract. Gastritis, ulcers, diarrheal disease is just a few of the problems people develop when the intestinal flora is out of balance. Living Streams probiotics create the healthy balance needed for good digestion, suppresses growth of pathogenic bacteria, and actually increases resistance to infection. Call the Power Hour, 877-817-9829. Order your Living Stream probiotics today. They're available in 2, 4, and 8-ounce bottles, and Living Streams probiotics comes with a money-back guarantee. Get your body back in balance with Living Streams probiotics today. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Living Streams Probiotics. Everyone should be pro-life.
As you all know, everything begins with an idea. Ideas have helped shape the very world we live in. ThePowerMall.com began as an idea, allowing entrepreneurs and small business owners like yourself the opportunity to not only survive, but thrive in an era where corporations dominate. ThePowerMall.com is a small family-owned business who has partnered with companies you've come to rely on and trust over the years, like Strauss Heart Drops, North American Urban Spice, Miracle 2 Soaps, Vitamir, Numana Food Storage, to name just a few. Fight back against large corporations when you buy from thepowermall.com. Need to speak to a real person? Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.